Today's Shi'ez Masech Techulun Daf Mem, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Tes on the Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomid. Our Mishnah continues discussing situations where somebody, Rachman al Tzlam, brings a carbon, l'shem Avodah Zarah. It says the Mishnah, Shaykh l'shem Harim, l'shem Gvois, for mountains, for valleys, l'shem Yamim, l'shem Naras, rivers and seas, l'shem Edbaras, deserts. In all these cases, since he had this Machshevas Avodah Zarah, Shkitase Psula. Continues the Mishnah. Shnaim Oichsim Besakin. If two people are holding a knife, a Shaychtim, and the Shecht, Echel Lashem, Echmi Kol Elu, one with this improper intention that we just discussed, Vech Lashem Dava Kosher, and the other one with the proper intention, Shkitase Psula. So as Rashi, as explained by the Mepharshim, say, our Mishnah is referring to a situation where two people are holding one knife. Even though we've discussed previously that there are opinions, Shmuel's opinion, that shechita is never a valid shechita. For they explain, in explaining Rashi. Certainly in a situation where you have two people holding two knives, and one person is shechting all by himself with an invalid, with an improper intention, that certainly is a possible shechita. The chiddush of our Mishnah, as Rashi seems to be saying, is you have two people holding one knife. So neither one of those individuals could do a shechita without the other one. And one of the people have a proper intention. Still, since the other person has an improper intention, that disqualifies the shechita. And as the Rambam goes on to say, the Mishnah is not only speaking about a situation, says the Rambam, where what this case, part of the Mishnah, where one had the wrong machshava, and the other person had no machshava, that there certainly will be disqualified shechita. But says the Rambam, even in a situation where one has an improper machshava and one has a kosher machshava, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that there's somebody who's contributing to the shechita that has this machshavas avodah zarah, it disqualifies the shechita. Actually, there are rishonim that debate the Rambam and say, if you have two people holding one knife, and one has a pasul machshava, and one has a kosher machshava, so why do we give more credence to the pasul machshava than to the kosher machshava? So, as we've been saying, and we'll continue saying, when somebody shechs a carbon, when somebody shechs avodah zarah, it's actually not just usher to eat that meat, but as we quoted the pasuk in Perikov Vav in Tehillim, we quoted it in yesterday's shiur, the pasuk says, that an animal that shechtefa avodah zarah is considered zivchei mesim, and zivchei mesim are also bahana. And therefore the question the Gemara poses in our Mishnah just discussed a situation where somebody shechted with a machshevas avodah zarah, and the Mishnah paskin that it's possible, but it didn't use the much stronger terminology of zivchei mesim. And asked the Gemara psula in, it seems that it's only possible Zivchei Mesim Loi, but it doesn't fall into that serious category of Zivchei Mesim. Ask the Gemara Vermini. The Braisa says, Hashoich L'shem Harim, L'shem Gvoz, has in mind mountains and valleys, L'shem Naharos, L'shem Edbaros, L'shem Cham Levona, L'shem Kachovim U'mazolos, L'shem Mechol Asar HaGodl, and we'll discuss this all, L'shem Shilshul Cotton is the smallest worm, Harei Elu Zivchei Mesim. So this Braisa seems to be speaking about the same situations identified in our Mishnah, yet here the Braisa calls it Zivchei Mesim. And our Mishnah said it's only Psula, answers the Gemara Amar Bai Loi Kasha. Hadam Lahar, Hadam Lagadadahar. It makes a difference what the intention was. If the intention was to the mountain itself, so as we learned numerous times when we learned Masechta Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, Alahorim Eloiheyem, you can have gods on the mountains, but the mountains can't be made into an avodah zarah. So if somebody had in mind the mountain itself, so that's not an avodah zarah. So the intention is inappropriate, and that's why the Mishnah says it's possible, but it's not zivchei mesim. If, on the other hand, you had in mind the master, the god, the mazel, that's already an avodah zarah. And therefore, the halacha will be that it's zivchei mesim, which is what the Braisa refers to. Interesting, Tosfos differentiates with somebody standing near the mountain or far away from the mountain. And And Taisa seems to say that if somebody's standing near the mountain, even though it's a mountain, that's called Avodah Zarah. The Rambam seems to say that for it not to be considered a situation that you had in mind the mazel of the mountain, you have to have a situation where you had a proper intent. That meant somebody was slaughtered for the mountain, thinking that the mountain could bring him some sort of salvation. Without that, it's always considered that you had in mind mazel dahar. And says the Gemara, dekanami, that the Brice is speaking about a case, we don't mean the actual object, but you mean the mazel, the ktani, because one of the cases mentioned in this Brice is mechol sarah godel. Now what's mechol? Mechol is not an object, it's a malach, it's a sar. So we see that the Brice is speaking about mountains, shmamina, speaking about mazel, not the actual item. Interesting machlokes rishonim, cham levona. So we clearly have identified, as I said in Masechet Avodah Zarah, we learned it, that a mountain can't become an Avodah Zarah, and for it to be considered a situation of Avodah Zarah, Poshet Pshat, you have to have in mind the mazel of the mountain. What's the halacha by the sun and the moon? Do sun and moon have the same rule as mountains, and the sun and the moon cannot become Avodah Zarah, and therefore to be considered an Avodah Zarah by the sun and the moon, that too has to be a situation where you have in mind the mazel of the sun and the moon, or a sun and moon not the same as a mountain. Mountain is something that's connected to the ground. It's mechubar. So the mountain, the Torah teaches us, cannot become Avodah Zarah. Sun and moon are not connected to the ground, and therefore sun and moon can be objects of Avodah Zarah itself. Actually, these Rishonim want to bring a raya from Shilshul Katan, where it seems that a Shilshul Katan can't be an Avodah Zarah, it means the Sar, and therefore they want to say that all the cases of the Braisa, including Cham Levana, which we always speak about people who worship the sun, doesn't mean the sun itself, it means the Sar of the sun. The Paiskim, this is a fascinating discussion, the Paiskim use this Gemara to speak about a tefillah that is very famous tefillah. It's a very popular song. The Braisa says that one who brings a carbon l'shem Michal, Saragol, the great Malach Michal, is Avodah Zarah. So we know, when it comes to Slichas, one of the tefillahs that we say every day in the Slichas is Machnisu Rachameinu, Machnisei Rachmim, Hachnisu Rachameinu, Lefnei Bal Rachamim. That we daven that the Machnisei Rachmim, Hura Machnisei Rachmim, the Malachim. So the question is, how can we say such a tefillah when we're not supposed to worship a Malach? And the Chasam Sofer discusses this. The Chasam Sofer even suggests that if he were davening Bechidus, he's not sure he would say his tefillah. When he's davening Betzibur and everybody's saying it, he's certainly not going to be different than everyone else. And there are communities that had a question about saying this slicha. Our meaning I think in most communities is to say it. How do we say it? So the Maral already discusses it, and the Maral says we have to be very careful when we say this tefillah. Chas v'sholem, a Jew is not allowed to daven to anybody but to God. The same issue comes up if somebody's visiting a Beis HaKfaris. You're not allowed to daven to anybody but to God. What our tefillah is, that the Malachim should help us in delivering our tefillah to Hashem. Well, when we go to Beis HaKfaris, we daven that b'schus, the tzaddikim are in these Beis HaKfaris. Our forefathers that are in this Beis HaKfaris, their schus should help us when we daven to Hashem. But one of the fundamentals of our religion is that we could speak to Hashem directly. We begin now the sugya of Adam Eisod Davashen Shaloi, Adam Eisod Ein Adam Eisod Davashen Shaloi, which means like this. Of course, if somebody has the ability to make his own object mutar asr. But what about somebody else's object? So says the Gemara Amar Funa, Haisa behemis chaveroi revutz lufnei avodas kechavim. Somebody else's animal was laying in front of avodas zarah. Kivin sheshacha basimen echad. As soon as he did the slightest amount of activity on this behema, he only shechted one simen asr. He makes it asr. In other words, what he's saying is, ki savala, ki ada amma ula amar Rabbi Yochanan, Apish Amru, Hamishtachva If somebody, Rechman Slam, bows down to somebody else's animal, he can't make it into Avodah Zarah. Ein Adam Oysa Dovish Ein Shalai. Here, Asra B'maisa, if he did a Maisa in that animal, Asra. And Rashi explains that the Gemara is being very deliberate in speaking about a case where the animal is laying. Because Rashi says if it's talking about a case where you would have to lift the animal, so we know from Masechet Baba Metzia that as soon as you do a hagbah on an animal, it becomes yours. So certainly the halacha would be that if you lifted the animal, it becomes yours. The chiddush of the Gemara is that you didn't lift the animal. You just did a very small act of shechita. The halacha is that it becomes asur for avodah zarah. Taisus is not so quick to agree with Rashi. And Taisus says that even though, as far as hilchos kinyanim are concerned, when you do an act of lifting, it does have halachic ramifications. It's not certain that just because you lifted somebody else's animal because you want it to be an avodah zarah, that it would be considered an avodah zarah. However, on the other hand, Tosfos says that even though the Gemara speaks about a case where it's revut lifnei avodah kachavim, it's laying in front of avodah zarah, says Tosfos, even if it's not laying in front of the avodah zarah. He says the normal situation would be that it's lying in front of the avodah zarah. But the same halacha would apply even if we weren't lying right in front of avodah zarah. So the Gemara is teaching us, just to summarize, that even though ein adam oisa davish ein shaloi, Rav Huna Ula teaching us that a minimal activity does make it avodah zarah. Ask the Gemara, Eser Rav Nachman Rav Huna, it says in a braisa, if there's an animal that's designated to be a carbon chattis, and you shechted it on Shabbos, b'chutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, chutz la'zorah, for the sake of avodah zorah, yechayif sholosh chatos. What are the three chatos? Chil Shabbos, you did b'shagik. Chil Shabbos, avodah zorah, and shchutei chutz. So before we go further, the Rishonim ask that we know that you only chayif on Shabbos for a malacha that's a constructive act. An animal that shechting on Shabbos, shechting this animal, b'chutz and avodah zarah, you won't be able to eat it. So if you won't be able to eat it, it's not, it's a mekalkel. And mekalkel is potter on Shabbos. So we try to answer that shechting an animal this way is not necessarily mekalkel. Very connected to concepts that we've learned in Am Sechta. Because in Am Sechta we learned that a ben noyach is not allowed to eat eva menachai. So if you have this animal, yes, it was shechted b'chutz, yes, it was shechted l'avodas k'chavim, but the shechita accomplishes that it's no longer an eva menachai. And now, so we may not be able to eat from this animal, but the guy could eat from the animal. And therefore, it's considered a constructive act, and it's considered mechil Shabbos. But ask the Gemara, what's relevant to our sugya. V'amrit, if we're going to suggest, kivin sheshachet b'asim en echad, as soon as you do the most minimal act, asra. So in other words, Rav Huna Ulaf taught us in our shir that as soon as you cut even the smallest amount of that animal, it becomes avodah zarah. So the question is, ashchut echutz lo ilchayiv. When are you chayiv ashchut echutz? You chayiv ashchut echutz that if you had done that shchita properly in the azara, the counterpart is doing it improperly, chutz la azara, you chayiv ashchut echutz. But by the time you come to being chayif shchutei chutz, which means after you finish shechting the animal a long time has already been avodah zarah, as soon as you did the most minimal act. And therefore the Gemara uses a very interesting terminology. Mechatech ba'afuhu. As soon as you did the minimal act of shechita on this animal, it became like a piece of earth. And once it became like a piece of earth, you can't be chayif shchutei chutz for shechting a piece of earth. So why are we saying that you chayif three chatos, you shouldn't be chayif for shchutei chutz? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Hocha b'chatas ha'ifaskinen. This price is referring to a situation that the animal that's being slaughtered is a chatas oif. And we know that a chatas oif, we learned this extensively earlier, only requires the shchita of one simen. And it's very deliberate that the Gemara doesn't speak about an oilus oif, because an oilus oif has to have two simonim. We had a very long sugya early in the Masechta. A chatas oif, one simon is enough, and therefore, the kulabad that dadikasi. When you finish shechting, or finish that one simon, or most of that one simon, all of it comes together, that's when it becomes Avodah Zarah, and that's when it's Shechutei Chutz, and that's when it's Chil Shabbos. Ask the Gemara. Michti. Makes the Gemara the following observation, which leads to a question. Rav Huna command Amr L'shmatzin. Rav Huna, according to whom did he say his whole halacha? Kula. In other words, the Rishonim explained the Gemara as follows. Rav Huna began the Gemara with a statement. So Rav Huna's statement is a very well understood statement. That even though normally ein adam oisa davish ein shaloi, here if you did a maisa, it is chayiv. Why did Rav Huna have to add the word? Why did Rav Huna have to bring ula? Ki hada amul ula amar Rabbi Yochanan. Abish amru hamishtachl behemes chaveir loy osra, osra ve maisa osra. What is the reason Rav Huna had to bring Ula into his statement? So Rishonim explained, because Rav Huna is saying that I'm saying much more than what meets your eye, meets the eye. What meets the eye is that you have to shecht one simen. Says Ula, you don't even have to shecht one simen. As soon as osa b'maisa, as soon as you did any act on this animal, even though it doesn't belong to you, you made it into Avodah Zarah. So now the question is very powerful. Our Gemara is suggesting, asked the Gemara, given the teretz the Rapapa gave, that it's not considered a maisa until you shecht at least one simen. But that's not what Ula is saying. Michti, says the Gemara. Rav Huna command Amr L'shmati. What did Rav Huna say? Ka'ula. He included Ula in his statement. And Ula obviously is of the opinion that you don't have to have a whole simen. Vula Maisa Koldukomer. As soon as you did the most minimal act, it's already Avodah Zarah. So the Kasha comes right back. If it becomes Avodah Zarah as soon as you did the most minimal cut, but Shechutei Chutz is only after you finish the simen, by the time you come to Shechutei Chutz, to use the very appropriate wording the Gemara used, it's already Chatech Bafer. You're cutting a piece of earth. It's meaningless. Because of this question, El Amu Mezutra, the Gemara has to say, Ba'im Gemaz Vichu Avda. We have a Ovid Avodah Zarah who's a Lamdan. And what happened here is that he says that the Shechit, it only becomes Avodah Zarah when I finish the act of Shechita. And therefore, since he only meant that you become Avodah Zarah at the end, so everything comes together. Ask the Gemara, excellent teretz. Yochi Ma'ir Yechatis, Lashmin and Zevach. There's a reason that the Gemara spoke about Chatos versus all other Kabbonis. So if we're going to say that we're speaking about Chatos Oif, as the Gemara suggested, because by Chatos Oif it has this unique rule that one simon makes the Shechita. So we could understand why the Braisa chose to speak about Chatos. But now that the Gemara is giving a lom the Sheteritz, so that Teretz could be said by every carbon. So why did the Gemara single out Chatos? Elo ama mazutra mishmeid rapapa. Hacha ma iskinen. Kigon shah yachatzi konu pogum. Vahoysav la kol shiva gomra. The kul bahada dadikasyan. Beautiful teretz to help us get ready for the next perek. But we had learned this halacha before. The halacha is that if an animal has its kona, its windpipe, its trachea cut, as long as it's not cut more than halfway, it's not roif, it's not a treifa. So let's think about this chatas ha'oif. This chatas ha'oif is starting with this bird that has a kana that's halfway cut. Is it treifa? No. To make it a shechita, what is needed? Very minimal cut. Because that minimal cut will make it roif, which makes it into a valid shechita, because it's a chatas ha'oif. As I said earlier, a chatas ha'oif only needs roiv of simen echad to be a kosher shechita. So it'll be a valid shechita. It'll be avodah zarah, because that's when you had the intention of avodah zarah, and it'll be chil shabbos. That's why the Braisa spoke about that case specifically of chatas, and that's the case where all three isurim come simultaneously. They all come together. Says the Gemara. Amar Papa, says Rav Papa, I love the Amar Rav Huna. Had Rav Huna not said, had Rav Huna not said, Simel Echot, have a chatas to yuftei. If not that Rav Huna began this piece of Gemara that we've been learning now, that you have to at least shecht one simen for it to be considered a maisa, I wouldn't have had a question. Because if Rav Huna had left his statement ambiguous, I would have said that even though Rav Huna is teaching us a chiddush, that one does have the ability to make adam oisa davish enishaloi, that one has the ability to make somebody else's object osur, I would say, when you have a maisa rabba. And if I wouldn't be limited to chatas, I would say even chatas oif, I could even say chatas behema. The fact that he added the rule that it doesn't have to have more than one simen, that locked us into chatas oif. And as the Rishonim point out, on a shlomim, we would have perhaps suggested that since the shlomim belongs to the owner, everybody would agree that even if it's a carbon, a minimal act is enough, because I have still a share in it. A chatos, where I don't have a share, I, the owner, have no share in it, everybody, we would have thought that a maaser rabba would be required to make it into the avodah zarah. That's why the Rav Huna told us that you don't have to have a maaser rabba, even one simen is enough. That led us to the complication that brought to the terrace that I talked about, this unique, very unique situation of the bird that has the cut kana. Vom Rav Papa. Furthermore, says Rav Papa, Ilav Dam Rav Huna, Behemes Chaveroi, Lo Yav Achatas Tuyufte. Again, what caused us all these questions? Because Rav Huna came along with a chiddush. Rav Huna's chiddush was that even though I am not the owner of this animal, I have the ability to make a carbon osur. I have the ability to make someone else's animal into avodah zarah. Says the Gemara, had Rav Huna not made that statement, it wouldn't be a question. My tama, the day matzi osur, the chaver loy matzi osur. So the Gemara says, of course, if we wouldn't have made that statement, the chatas doesn't belong to me. We wouldn't have the question. Pshita. Answered the Gemara, if not for Rav Huna's statement, I would have said the following. Which means as follows, to give the lumdus of the Gemara. The lumdus of the Gemara goes as follows. If Rav Huna had not begun this sugya, teaching us that one has the ability to make someone else's property avodah zarah, I would say you never have the ability to make somebody else's property avodah zarah. The Braisa clearly teaches us that you can make a chatas into avodah zarah, and a chatas doesn't belong to you. That wouldn't have posed a big difficulty. Because who brings the carbon chatas? I brought the carbon chatas, because I unfortunately did an aveira, and I need a kapara. So that wouldn't be equated as a situation as somebody else's property. You can't compare, the Gemara says, something that I originally owned, and I'm bringing to effect the kapara to myself, versus something that isn't mine altogether. So had Rav Huna not begun with his statement, we would have explained the Braisa very simply. We would have explained the Braisa teaching us that I designated an animal for Karm Chattas, even though technically, legally, it's no longer mine, but the fact that I was the one that designated it for my Kapara, it is still somewhat mine, and therefore I can make it into an Avodah Zarah. And furthermore, had Rav Huna not taught us in conjunction with Ula, that even a minimal act is enough, I would have said you have to have a full act. The Gemara would have been very, the Braisa would have been very easy to understand. The Chatas is mine, because it affects a Kapara for me. I therefore can make it into an Avodah Zarah, but only if I do a full act, and therefore everything comes together. When I do the complete Shechita, I'm Chayef for Shechut Echutz, I'm Chayef for Avodah Zarah, and I'm Chayef for Shabbos. However, Rav Huna said that it doesn't have to be mine. So he's saying, I don't have to explain chatas that way. And we're going to see soon that the Gemara actually explains that certain mandamin that do explain chatas that way. So now it's because, even though it doesn't belong to me, Rav Huna is teaching us that I have the ability to make it into avodah zarah. But he also added to that, just to bring the Gemara complete, they also added to that, that you don't even have to do a significant act. That's why we had the kashas. Because of the kashas, we had no other way that to answer other than we're talking about this unique situation with a bird that has a half-cut kana. Not simen. Says the Gemara of Nachman of Amr of Yitzchak Amri, they hold, ain't adam oisa davish enishalai. They hold Then all the halach is a person doesn't have the ability to ask for something that doesn't belong to him. Most Rishonim, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, hold that their opinion is very simple. You don't have the ability to ask for something that doesn't belong to you. There are Rishonim that want to distinguish in this opinion between a Maisa Rabba and Maisa Zuta, which saying even though they're disagreeing with Rav Huna, and they're saying that Adam Oysa Davashen and Shalai, Ain Adam Oysa Davashen and Shalai, that's only in the case that Rav Huna and Ulu discussed, when you did a minimal act. But if you did a major act, they too would agree that Adam Oysa Davashen and Shalai. But that's not the way most Rishonim learn, and that's not the way we're going to learn. Ask the Gemara back to this question. Meisvei, we just finished learning a Braisa, Hashaych Chatas B'Shabes B'Chutz, Lavodis G'Chavim, Chayv Shol Shchatos. V'kminim, and we just finished explaining, it's talking about B'Chatzi, Chatas Oif, B'Chatzi Konapong. Tama, and what do we see from here? The Chatas Oifu, because we were able to explain this Braisa with this unique situation, that it's a Chatas Oif, the Kula B'Hada Adoda Ka'asyan. Avo Zavach, that's why the Braisa is singled out, speaking about a Chatas. Ava Zavach Loi. But Zavach, any other carbon, the Loch is that you're not Chayiv. That means, what's the Braisa saying? Well, how are we understanding the Braisa? That because we're talking about a Chatas Oif, and because we were able to explain and come up with a scenario that all three Averis come together, that's why you're Chayiv for all three. Every other carbon, what would be the Loch? It would be considered Avodah Zarah before Shchut Echutz, and to use the Gemara's wording, it would be Chaytach Ofer. That's the Gemara, E Ein Adam Oysa Davishen Shalai. So why is it considered ever Avodah Zarah? It's not mine. Vi Ein Adam Oysa Davishen Shalai, Mayir Chatas Oif. Afilu Chatas Behem Nami. It should never become Avodah Zarah. It's not my animal. Answers the Gemara, just the opposite of what we said. They will explain, Kim the Kanya Lele Kapar Kididei Dami. They're going to say that it is yours. You know why it's yours? Because it brings you a kapara. So even though you were magdish this animal as a carbon, and technically and legally it's not yours, it's not completely not yours. It's not like an animal that I have no connection to. Your animal, I shouldn't say it on myself, that somebody goes and worships as a Avodah Zarah. That's not the same here. You designated this animal for carbon, and that makes it still yours, and you can make it into Avodah Zarah. And now the price is even understandable according to them. If it's a Chatas Behema, so as soon as you do some Shechita, it becomes Avodah Zarah. And the other Averis come later, so it's Mechatach Ba'afer, because it's Chatas Oif, so they're going to have to agree with Rav Papa's interpretation of this price. So we have here in our Shir a very interesting situation. The halacha is Ein Adam Oysa Davashen Shalom. Person doesn't have the ability to ask for something that doesn't belong to them. That's the opinion that we're just learning of these three mandamrim. Machlokas Rishonim, how far to take their opinion. Some Rishonim suggest that we take it to the degree that they could even eat the meat. Now let's say somebody shechted somebody else's behemah l'shem avodah zarah, but it's not his behemah, and he has no right to make it into Avodah Zarah. The meat is completely kosher. Other Rishonim say you can't eat the meat. It's only muta bahano. So there's a Taisus Masechta Yevamos. Taisus Masechta Yevamos asks the following question. If I come to your house and I take milk and I pour it into your meat, your pot of meat, it's not bottle b'shishim. Take a whole bottle of milk and I pour it into your meat. Would you be allowed to eat that? Of course not. It's possible chalav. Ain't other moisa davashen shaloi. I can't make your thing usher. So why is it usher to eat? So Taisus answers the obvious teretz. Where do we say ain't other moisa davashen shaloi? Something that depends on machshava. Al gemara avodah zarah. So your machshavas avodah zarah cannot make my animal into avodah zarah. Here it's a fact. The fact is that you have basar b'chalav mixed together. And Basa B'cholov is also B'hano. It doesn't make a difference if I'm happy what you did. I asked you to do it. You did it without my permission. It doesn't change the realities. And this question comes up in a number of areas of halacha. Interesting shailas. I saw one shaila like this. The halacha is, there's a a muksa called basasul davar asur. That means, if Friday afternoon, this is a very famous question, if Friday afternoon I have an empty table and I put my wallet on the table, then my table becomes a basasul davar asur. And I can't move that table all of Shabbos. This is the famous question with the tables, with the candelabras on the table right before Shabbos. How could you move the table? That's why Klal Yisrael has the minig. They put the chal, to make sure to put the chalas on the table, to make sure to put svarim on the table. It shouldn't be a basas l'davar asur. So what happens if you come to my house and you put down your wallet on my table? Not my wallet, your wallet. Is it going to be a basas l'davar asur? So certainly the Magen Avraham says, if I saw and I knew and I didn't say anything, then it may become a basis. But let's say I didn't see. You were in my house. I was in a different room. I didn't see what was going on. So a lot of Paiskim hold it won't be basis davar asur. Because basis davar asur does depend, all of Hilchos Muktzeh are totally dependent on das. And your das can make my table asur. Then, the Paiskim, the Mishnah Brewer, Bekiva Eger, Rav Shach in the Sefer Aviezri, the Chazon Ish, discuss a very interesting question. The halach is as follows. If somebody takes a pat off blech on Shabbos, so the halach is, if you have a mind to put it back on, and you don't put that pat down, then you can put it back on the blech. So what happens if you take a pat off the blech in my house, you walk into my house, and you take the pat of challenge off the blech, take the pot of chalent off the blech, and you put it down. What's going to be the halacha? So there, Rav Shach, and the Aviezri says, it's like the bas b'chalav. He says, once you put it on the ground, the fact that you had no right to do it, the fact that you're not the owner doesn't change the reality. The pot's on the ground, you can't put it back on, you can't put it back on the blech. But what's going to be the halacha now like that? What will be the halacha? You took the pot off, you didn't put it on the floor, but you didn't have a mind to put it back on. And I just said that there are two conditions that have to be met. You have to have a mind, you have to not put it on the floor, and you also have to have a mind to put it back on. And here, you took it off without having a mind to put it back on. What will be the halacha? Rav Kveger has a shaila on this, because there's two ways of looking at this. One way of looking at it is that the only way the pot could be put back on the blech is if there's a positive machshava to put it back on. And in the absence of that positive machshava to put it back on, then you can't put it back. And you don't have a machshava to put it back on. On the other hand, they, other Paiskim say, you're not a person to have machshavas. It's not your pat. And since your machshava doesn't count, so we don't look at it as if there was a machshava not to put it back on, and it would be allowed to be put back on. Another shaila in halacha. Less shaila. One more shaila in halacha is, it says in Shulchan Aruch that water that was previously used cannot be used for netilas yadayim. So what happened if you used water without permission? You took water and you used it without permission. Can that water, you took my water and you used it without permission, can that water be used for netilas yadayim? So the Paiskim say as follows, and it's all connected to what we've been discussing. If the water physically changed by you using it, then everybody would agree that you can't use that water again. Because that's a physical reality, like Tosfos says. You can't deny the realities. But let's say you stuck your hand into the water. Physically, visually, the water didn't change. So the question is, how do we look at the halacha that water that was used is asur? Does the halacha say that if it was used in any minimal way, it becomes disqualified, so it's like the bas b'chalav? Or is it a halachic is it a halachic issue, and therefore maybe only the owner of the water has the ability to disqualify it in the most minimal use, no one else? That's the halach. Now we'll talk agada. Those of us that say the akedah every day, the pasuk says, "Ashi yoimer hayoyim b'har Hashem yirah." What's pshat Ashayomer Hayoyim? The pasuk says Ashayomer Hayoyim today. But why did Avram Avinu single out this very day? So Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says a beautiful teretz. He says that the Medrash says that Har HaMoriah, where the Akedah took place, was originally a valley. That day became a mountain. Why? So he says, because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the time of Avraham Avinu, there was rampant Avodah Zarah. And they made every mountain into an Avodah Zarah. Since they made every mountain into Avodah Zarah, how could that mountain, which we know HaMoriah is where the mice, with the Makom HaMikdash, now be the place where we have the Beis HaMikdash, if that was already previously in Avodah Zarah? So says the Medrash, what did Hashem do? He only made it into a mountain that day. So they never worshipped that area because it was never a mountain previously. That's Pshat. Because they were in Eretz Yisrael before us. So if, even though Ein Adam Oysa Davashayna Shalai, they would have been able to ask for that mountain. So what did Hashem do? He didn't let it be a mountain before. Ashi Yoimer, Hayoim Hashem. Hayoim, Har Hashem Yirah. Hayoim, today became a mountain, not that they should have the ability to make the mountain also from before. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Ipshins, goes on to say, the Torah says, remember the exact words, is an introduction to the Parsha Nagon, the Parsha that if the house has a negative ras, we've spoken about it many times, what has to be done? The Torah says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, if you find a neg in the house. And we know, as all the Rishonim explain, what do Negoim represent? What Negoim represent is Averis, that the house is a place of Avera. It's a difficulty, two difficulties. What does the Torah have to give us this whole introduction for Hoyu Kisavoy al Eretz Achuzaschem? When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you'll find Negoim. The Torah is teaching us, if you have a neg in your house, what should you do? Why do we need this introduction? And furthermore, even if Klai Yisrael, Chumal Tzlan, Du'er Averis, we're still better than the Knanim who were there before us. So how come there were never Negoim in the houses when they were living there? Only when the Jew arrives, that's when the Negoim start to appear. So the Torah is answering that question, says Rabbi Yonis and Abshitz. Because they don't own their houses. And Ein Am Oysa Dov Hashayna Shavoy, Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. So the Torah says, you're going to have the question, why did the Negoim only show up when you're there? Not when the Goim were there before you. So the Torah answers it, for Hayu Kisavol Eretz Achuzaschem, because these houses really belong to you, but they didn't belong to the Goyim. And Ein Am Oysa Dov Hashayna Shavoy. One more vart, Sfasemis, says that the Torah teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, told Paroi, told Klal Yisrael, that when we leave Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim will supply us with animals for our kabbonis. It's a very difficult thing to understand. They owe us animals? We have a right to take somebody else's animals? One question. The only question is, but remember, the Makkos Arba, the pasuk says that all of the Mikne Mitzrayim died, or Mikne Yisrael Lemeis Echad, the pasuk says, none of the Jewish cattle died, for Yechbed Le Paroi, and Paroi's heart got stronger. So the question is, the pasuk is a difficult pasuk to understand. Paroi's heart got stronger? If he saw this phenomena, all of his cattle is wiped out, and all of the Jews' cattle is saved. So if anything, that should have softened him to see where he's standing in the world. And the pasuk said just the opposite, v'yichbad lei Paroi. The answer is that Paroi said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take all the Jews' mikne and take it for myself. My mikne will die. Why? Because I'm going to take the Jewish mikne. Or Mikne Yisrael Lemeis Echad. None of the Mikne Yisrael died. So Paroi was able to appropriate all of that Mikne for himself. That's why V'yichbad Lei Paroi, he couldn't care less. Now we understand. When Klal Yisrael came to Paroi to say, you give us Mikne, how are we taking their Mikne? It was really our Mikne. And Ein Adam Oysa Dov Hashayna Shalai, he can't make our Mikne into his. We're just taking back what rightfully belongs to us.